Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of the State of Nebraska is now open for the transaction of business. Draw nigh, all ye having business with this Honorable Court, and ye shall be heard. God save the State of Nebraska and this Honorable Court.
Thank you very much, and I will be seated, and everybody on the telephone can be seated also. And welcome everybody to this kind of historical session of oral arguments for the court. We're doing it telephonically, and I will begin by calling the roll here. First of all, the first case of the day is Ash Grove Cement Company versus Department of Revenue, Lyman Ritchie Corporation versus Department of Revenue, and there are actually two Lyman Ritchie cases. All three of these have been combined for argument. Mr. Bartell, are you on the phone?
I am, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. We'll get to you in a moment. And Mr. Covey, are you on the phone?
I am. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. And now the court. Justice Miller-Lerman, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Justice Castle?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Justice Stacy?
Yes, Chief. Good morning.
Good morning. Justice Funk?
Yes, Chief. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Justice Papik?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And Justice Frydenberg?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And I, of course, am Mike Havigan, the Chief Justice. So I think we've got everybody on the phone who needs to be on the phone. Allie, the bailiff, is here and on from technology, is kind of running the show here. So the way we're going to do this argument and the following argument of the day is for... we will give each of you 5 minutes of uninterrupted time to present your case. Then at 5 minutes, we'll stop and we will sort of poll the court again. And each of the justices will get a chance to ask any questions they might have. After we go through that rotation, the justices will be signaling by email or other electronic device if they have some follow-up questions to do. And we will do those follow-up questions, and then whatever time is left for the attorneys, you can close with that. And appellants, of course, you have the option and right to ask for rebuttal time if you so wish. So with that, Mr. Bartell, do you have any questions about that process?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Covey, do you have any questions about that process?
I do not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bartell, again, good morning to you, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. I'm here on behalf of the Department of Revenue and Tax Commissioner in these consolidated cases. The issue in the first case is whether Lyman Ritchie's sand and gravel operations involved the qualified business of processing under the Nebraska Advantage Act. The issue in the second two cases is whether the sand and gravel operations are manufacturing under the sales and use tax exemption for manufacturing machinery and equipment. The operations involve extracting raw slurry, which is a mixture of sand, gravel, mud, and debris from the ground, and then cleaning, sorting, and stockpiling the sand and gravel that has been removed from the slurry. Qualified business includes the assembly, fabrication, manufacture, or processing of tangible personal property. Manufacturing is defined as an action or series of actions performed upon tangible personal property, either by hand or machine, which results in that tangible personal property being reduced or transformed into a different state, quality, form, property, or thing. The district court found the sand and gravel operations are not manufacturing, as they do not reduce or transform the aggregate into a different state, quality, form, property, or thing. But it did find that the operations are the qualified business of processing. The district court improperly disregarded this court's decision in Metropolitan Utilities District versus Balka, which recognized that the terms manufacturing and processing both require the transformation or conversion of property into a different state or form. While this case construed a department regulation defining these terms under the Energy Source Exemption, 775704 of the Advantage Act requires that all terms used in the Act shall have the same meaning as used in Chapter 77, Article 27, as the regulation interprets the term processing as part of Chapter 77, Article 27. That meaning also applies to the interpretation of processing under the Advantage Act. The District Court construed processing as to subject to a particular method, system, or technique of preparation, handling, or other treatment designed to affect a particular result. But this broad definition fails to properly interpret the term in a manner consistent with the statute as a whole. The statute lists as qualifying business activities the assembly, fabrication, manufacture, or processing of tangible personal property. Under the related meaning doctrine of statutory construction, the meaning of processing must be determined in context with these other listed activities. The common denominator is the transformation of tangible personal property into something new or different. By assembly or fabrication of parts, or manufacture or processing a property into a new or different state or form. Manufacturing and processing both have a transformational element. The distinction is in how those terms apply in different commercial contexts. For example, when agricultural commodities like beef or corn are transformed into a different state, quality, or form than the original input, that activity is processing. In common understanding, one would not call that activity manufacturing. So while both manufacturing and processing are commonly understood to involve the change or transformation of property, they still have independent meaning because each term applies to different types of commercial activity. The issue in the other two cases is whether the sand and gravel operations are manufacturing for purposes of the sales and use tax exemption for manufacturing machinery and equipment. The sand and gravel operations, which again consist of cleaning, separating, sorting, and stockpiling the aggregate, are not manufacturing because they do not reduce or transform the sand or gravel. These operations are mining, not manufacturing. By regulation, the department has clarified that the statute providing that manufacturing must reduce or transform tangible personal property requires a physical change. Lyman Ritchie has abandoned its argument that the rule exceeds the scope of the statute defining manufacturing, and the evidence shows no meaningful or significant physical change to the sand or gravel. Lyman Ritchie spends a great deal of time in its brief discussing testimony as to such a change, but as the district court found, it is inconsistent and contradictory.
Thirty seconds, Mr. Bartle.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's clear that any physical change in the angularity, sphericity, or texture of the aggregate is purely incidental, not purposeful or designed. Manufacturing is an action that results in a transformation of property. So mere incidental changes to property, which are not planned or designed, are not manufacturing because they do not result in any transformation of property.
I think that is 5 minutes, so we will go to the court for some questioning at this point in time, and we're going to do that by seniority for this first argument. So, Justice Miller-Lerman, do you have questions?
Yes, Your Honor. I have a question. I'm trying to differentiate between the cases with respect to Ashgrove, the 669 case. Could you focus on, if I have this correctly, the activity is that you challenge is crushing, is that right, and that you believe that to be a processing or a transformational activity? Could you explain that further if I have the premise correct?
Actually, no, Your Honor. The tax commissioner found that the crushing activity was qualifying activity as manufacturing. So we're not dealing with crushing in that case. We're dealing only with the other sand and gravel operations per se and whether those are processing. The district court found that they were not manufacturing, both for purposes of the Advantage Act, which is the Ashgrove case, 19-699, as well as for the sales and use tax exemption case, which is the other two cases.
So could you go in each case then, in the Ashgrove, removing water, is that correct, is what we're dealing with?
Well, it's a combination of things. I mean, basically they draw the slurry from, you know, the bottom of a lake bed. It's transported to the plant. It undergoes various types of cleaning and sorting activities and then ultimately dewatering. And so you have, our position is that you have sand and gravel within the raw slurry. And at the end of these operations, what you have again is the same sand and gravel. It's just been separated by virtue of a cleaning and sorting process. I hate to use the word process. Let's say operation. And
so
you
back
have
to processing.
Yes,
Thank you.
You have the same, but you have the same thing at the end of the day. It's, and I, you know, and I think the district court kind of summarized it quite well. It says, removing mud and water from the aggregate and blending the particles together did not diminish them, markedly change their appearance or form, or convert it into something new. The aggregate remained what it was before it was extracted from the earth, albeit cleaner and grouped with different particles. So it's still sand and gravel at the end. It starts as sand and gravel, it ends as sand and gravel. There's no transformation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Justice Castle.
How would this argument apply to other extractive processes? For example, a petroleum refinery, wouldn't that be a processing or manufacturing operation? And how is this situation different from the other?
Well, I guess the question would be, and I guess it would be a fact question, is do you end up with something new and different in as a part of that process? Again, I don't know in the context of petroleum if what you're taking from the ground, is it actually are steps taken to turn that into a different form or property as opposed to here. What we're saying, again, it's sand and gravel when it starts, it's sand and gravel when it ends. Nothing has changed. So I think it's the transformative concept that's key, and whether that applies in another context is a fact question.
Is it does your argument essentially assert it must be a chemical or physical change and mere change in size? Crushing apparently is conceded.
But yes.
Where it's not crushed and it's not changed chemically or physically other than by removal of other non-essential particles, that's the heart of your argument.
Yes, the definition of manufacturing requires the reduction or transformation of property. We, and the department by regulation, has interpreted that to require a physical change. And that regulation is not really being challenged here. They're arguing there was a physical change, and we're saying there was not. And certainly not an intentional or purposeful change, which is, I think some of the cases also say there has to be a significant change for it to constitute manufacturing.
Well, I'll probably wait for Mr. Covey, but I'm looking for a useful analogy, and I'll ask that question of him.
Well, I could try one if you're game for it.
Go ahead.
Well, I guess, I mean, dry cleaning is a process. I think everyone would agree there's a process involved in dry cleaning, and that you're removing dirt and impurities, and you end up with perhaps a non-wrinkled garment when at the end. But I don't think anyone would consider that to be the type of a process that would be exempt under the Advantage Act. It doesn't fit with the type of assembly, fabrication, or manufacturing that the other terms refer to. That's why I think processing is a term that is unique to certain types of industries or businesses, primarily agricultural, as I mentioned. So you reach activity with processing that you don't reach with manufacturing that the Act's intended to cover, like a beef processing plant, for example.
Thank you. I'll turn it over to the next person.
Thank you very much. We have now gone over the 10 minutes, but we're going to give every justice an opportunity to ask questions. So, Justice Stacy.
Good morning. Counsel, you suggested that it was sand and gravel before and it was sand and gravel after, so there can't be any transformation. Does it matter to our analysis that before it was unmarketable sand and gravel and it was transformed into a more marketable product? Does that factor in that kind of transformation?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because the statute speaks in terms of a transformation into in the nature of the property itself, and it doesn't go to enhancement of value. I think one of the Ohio cases offhand that we cite in our brief that talks about the cases generally saying that manufacturing and processing both require a physical change or transformation specifically says that enhancement of value or marketability is not the type of transformation that's required.
Thank you.
Justice Funk.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Bartle, the regulations talk about processing includes grain drying and feed grinding in a commercial facility and the freezing of food products. How does that translate to what is being done to the raw slurry and the aggregate in this situation?
I don't believe that there's any connection there. Your Honor, is that from the energy source exemption or manufacturing? I'm not.
Energy source utility exemption.
Okay, we're really talking about the manufacturing machinery and equipment exemption. The energy source exemption, which they had raised earlier, they abandoned in the district court.
That regulation, we're defining processing or manufacturing.
Right, and I'm not sure if that, I believe that comes.
89.02.
I think that might come from the statute on the energy source exemption. I'm sure that's just part of the regulation. So I guess I don't think it really has application to the definition for purposes of the manufacturing, or excuse me, the Advantage Act, which was the
Well, there's definition. No definition of processing, is there?
The
Advantage Act.
No, there's no specific definition. Okay. Our argument is that under 775704, which says that the terms in the Advantage Act have the same meaning as elsewhere in the Revenue Act, that definition of processing from the energy source exemption applies. But again, that's a different activity than what we have here.
Well, isn't this a definition of processing that says it's the same as manufacturing and then gives examples such as grain drying and feed grinding and freezing the food products? So is that an example of what a process would be?
It certainly is, but I'm not sure if those are are created by the regulation or if they're based on the statute itself. I don't have the energy source exemption statute, unfortunately.
Okay. There are some cases that talk about the processing of poultry versus the processing of beef. Some states, processing of poultry appears to be a process. In some states, processing of beef seems to be manufacturing. Is this treatment of the aggregate, is it closer to poultry, is it closer to beef, or is it not close to either one?
I think the distinction is that, you know, you generally processing applies more to agricultural activities, and so that might be why you see that term used in connection with poultry. I'm not sure how manufacturing really fits with beef. I think that is more processing, but perhaps there are courts that look at it differently. The key is that both are construed to require a change or transformation of property into something new or different. At the end of the day, that's the common element for both manufacturing and processing.
Well, is it processing of poultry still chicken? It begins as chicken and ends as chicken. How does that transformation?
I think it's definitely a different state or quality, because you have something that obviously isn't something that can be sold or, you know, at retail, for example. It's not a product that anyone can consume at the point of where it starts, but at the end it is a consumable product.
So that's the physical change that you're referring to?
I think it's a change in it's a physical change. It's a change in the quality or form of the property.
Good. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Papik.
I don't have any questions, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Frydenberg.
I see the term mining is used in the administrative rules, but is the term mining used anywhere in the statutory scheme?
It is not used in the statute, Your Honor.
Okay. I have no other questions.
Very good. And I will ask an obvious question. Is our standard of review, is that errors appearing on the record?
It is for the factual findings of the district court, and it's, of course, de novo for any legal issues, including statutory interpretation.
So you would describe this as an error of law?
No, I don't think the factual findings are at issue, at least in the first case. I think the operations, no one disputes what the operations are, that it's the ultimate conclusion of is there a the court required, I think as a matter of law, the court found there did not have to be any transformation or physical change. We're arguing that's incorrect, that processing like manufacturing has that requirement.
Thank you very much. I hesitate to even ask this question, but do any of the justices have a follow-up question or so?
No.
Okay. No, Chief.
No.
Very good, then. Thank you very much, Mr. Bartle. Thank you very much. And we exceeded your time by, I believe, 7 minutes. So, Mr. Covey, we will keep that in mind, but we will give the floor to you, Mr. Covey. Good morning again.
Good morning, Your Honor. Thank you very much. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Chris Covey. I represent Ashgrove Cement Company in docket 19-669 and Lyman Ritchie Corporation in docket numbers 674 and 675. I will refer collectively to both entities as Lyman Ritchie for the purposes of today's argument. As Mr. Bartle accurately summarized, this case involves whether Lyman Ritchie is entitled to certain tax benefits under the Nebraska Advantage Act, and also whether their activities qualify for certain sales and use tax exemptions. Pivotal to both inquiries is whether the activities conducted at Lyman Ritchie's aggregate production facilities are manufacturing. The district court correctly held that these activities are considered processing, so I will save that argument if I have time after we discuss the manufacturing activities. The key inquiry here, and I'm not going to belabor the definition, we've already talked about that, but the key question here is whether or not they are manufacturing as that term is defined under Nebraska law. We don't get to bring our own ideas of what manufacturing may be into the picture. It's a very clear statute, and it's a very broad statute. The entire scheme here is designed to lure and keep Nebraska businesses, so it's not surprising that the definition of manufacturing would include a lot of different industries. All that has to happen is the manufacturing facility has to transform property into a different either state, quality, form, property, or thing. It's as though the legislature threw thing in just to make sure, you know, that anybody doing any transformation of products is going to be avail themselves of these benefits. And here, if you look at Exhibit 18, Exhibit 18 is a picture of slurry. Now, that picture's a little inaccurate only because it has dried out some since it was taken out of the lake bed. As you can imagine, it's muddy when it comes out of the lake bed. But picture 18 is the raw slurry. And if you then look at the other pictures around it, the exhibits 12 through 17 and 19, you see completely different things. They have different qualities. They have different properties. These are very specific sand and gravel mixtures that are designed to sell in the marketplace. And in some cases, those recipes are demanded by the market itself, including the state of Nebraska. So if you look at this, there's really two ways to look at the change in these properties. One is at the macro level, one is at the particulate level. So at the macro level, you have this slurry that undergoes this entire process. Now, the slurry is worthless. No one wants to buy slurry. Mining would be if they took the slurry, put it in a truck, and drove it to someone and gave it to them. That's not what's happening here. The manufacturing starts at the cutter head. They're drilling up this debris and these rocks and sand and gravel. It's all being brought into the machine. Then it not only undergoes cleaning, sorting, it's impacted on its way through the various machines and sorting facility. And then it's not just separated out, cleaned up, and sent off. It's then remixed into a brand new product. This court's already held that mixing is manufacturing in a different Lyman Ritchie case. That gets largely ignored in the process is that they're mixing it into a new product as part of this. So if you look at that, and the inquiry can end there. You can just look and see that the slurry, which is worthless, and we have Mark Lindemann, a state geotechnical engineer, saying we can't do anything with that. We can't build roads with that. But what we can build roads with is the product that comes out the other end. So at the macro level, for example, I believe Mr. Bartel said that in response to Judge Stacey, that there was no enhancement of the product here. Well, one of the factors is quality. And he admitted that he's trying to change the definition and just read quality out. It is a different quality. It's a quality, it goes from worthless to valuable, and it doesn't do that on its own. There's a process and a manufacturing element to that. I see I'm getting dangerously short on time, so I will jump quickly to an error of law by the district court at the microscopic level. In an effort to shore this up even further, Lyman Ritchie engaged a concrete expert who tested this and said, yes, this is within his reasonable degree of scientific certainty, a different thing at the microscopic level. And the district court erred because they said, the judge said, you didn't test the same sample of slurry and then test it after manufacturing and then put the burden on Lyman Ritchie to say, and you didn't prove why that was impossible. Well, he's reversed the burden there. We put on scientific evidence that concluded that this was a different physical property than the raw slurry. And in fact, we did put on evidence of impossibility. If you watch the video, which I believe is Exhibit 10, it shows the process. There's no way to take slurry, test it, put it back in at the front of the cutter head, and then somehow catch that same sample on its way through the process because so much happens to it. I'm out of time, and I believe I heard you tell me 30 seconds. So I will stop there and entertain any questions.
Very good, Mr. Covey. Thank you so much. And we will begin the questions again with Justice Miller-Lerman.
Good morning. Just based on the comment that you recently made, is it helpful to look at transformational and value added as similar?
Well, Your Honor, yes. If you look at the word quality that's included in the definition of manufacturing, if it's a different quality, then it fits the definition of manufacturing. And clearly, when you take a look at slurry versus the end product, you've got, as I said, a worthless batch of slurry that's turned into a valuable product solely because of the transformation that occurred during the manufacturing process.
So value added takes us back to a statutory word. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Justice Castle.
Would you like to comment on the analogy that I asked Mr. Bartel about?
Yes, Your Honor. With respect to, and I want to clarify your question, were you talking about the context of processing or manufacturing?
Processing.
With respect to processing, Your Honor, a petroleum process would obviously take a product and then, something that we can't put in our cars and our airplanes and then change it, and in that case, chemically, to make it into a different product that can be used. So in that sense, yes, that would be processing. But I think even better analogies of processing were offered by Mr. Bartle himself. When you look at a beef processing plant, a cow comes in and then it's taken into parts and then it's sold. But the tenderloin is a tenderloin the entire time. The hide is the hide the entire time. All that happens is it gets split up for parts, and he agrees that's processing. Here, that's happening, plus there's another element that changes it and remixes it into these valuable products. So processing is clearly covered, even using their analogy. The dry cleaning analogy doesn't work because the shirt is already a shirt, and then it comes out a shirt. It's just cleaner. So I think the beef analogy that they've consented to in their brief shores that up.
Thank you.
Justice Stacey.
No questions, Chief.
Justice Funk.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Covey, what is the tangible personal property that's either being assembled, fabricated, manufactured, or processed?
The tangible personal property would be the product that gets sold to the customers, the 47B gravel, the rock gravel, the various products that are listed.
So when we're talking about slurry, slurry is not the tangible property. That's just, is that the form that the aggregate comes in? Or is it just a byproduct? Or how does the slurry fit in?
Well, I guess the slurry would be tangible personal property as well. That's what's transformed. The distinction, and then maybe I didn't say this very artfully, the distinction is it goes from worthless tangible personal property to a useful product as a result of the process.
So the aggregate is worthless when it's mixed with the slurry. It's valuable when it's extracted from the slurry. Is that correct?
Yes, when it's extracted and then reconstituted into these specific products.
And what have we held about remixing or reblending?
Well, Your Honor, there was a previous case, a 2000 case. I can get you the site here, but it's Lyman Ritchie Corporation versus Department of Revenue. And the issue there was whether the concrete trucks that you see driving around, all they do is mix. All the trucks were doing was mixing, and the court held that that was manufacturing, that mixing was considered manufacturing.
And in that case, it was talking about the concrete, which is being mixed with the cement, the water, and the aggregate. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, that's exactly right.
Okay, it was an aggregate being remixed with other aggregate or different sizes of aggregate. Is that correct?
No, not at that point in the process.
So this is really a case of first impression when we're talking about remixing of different sizes of aggregate to make a finished product that can be used for cement or for asphalt or other things. Is that right?
Yes, it would be for, to the same extent, any mixing of any particular product is going to be fact specific. So in that sense, yes, it would be first impression.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Covey. I have no additional questions.
Justice Papik.
Mr. Covey, I understand the Department of Revenue to be arguing that when we interpret the word processing, we need to interpret it in light of the other words that it appears next to in the statute. So we need to interpret processing in light of manufacturing, fabrication, and so on. Do you disagree that principle applies, or do you just disagree in the Department of Revenue's application of it in this case?
Well, I think there's always a certain element of the, and I forget the Latin phrase, forgive me, of word being read.
I think.
Yeah, well, very well. Very well. I can't even tell you whether you're right or wrong, but I'll have to assume you are. But in this particular case, it's they've taken that too far. They've essentially said we want processing to mean manufacturing, and as the district court properly held, that reads processing out. And then, in an attempt to say that those are two different applications, they've failed to come up with a single example of that or analogy that works. So, yeah, we would agree with the district court that even if you do read those words somewhat in context, that doesn't mean you just substitute one definition for another.
But does the district court's use of sort of one dictionary definition of to subject to a particular method, system, or technique of preparation or other treatment designed to affect a particular result. Does that create a different problem where almost everything is processing? So, for example, using the district court's dictionary definition, why wouldn't dry cleaning qualify as processing? It's subjecting a particular method to affect a particular result.
Well, because if you use that definition of dry cleaning, the process doesn't. I'm trying to think of the exact right phrase here, but the shirt itself doesn't undergo any change. I think even a little bit of, and again, I should have written that phrase down when you just said it, Your Honor, even applying to that principle that the words are to be read together, you can use this, you can use some amount of that so that you won't have these kind of extreme examples. Alternatively, the court could take that definition and say, you know what, until the legislature defines processing for us, as we did in Stewart versus Department of Revenue, we're going to use the plain meaning and we're going to apply these things strictly. So, you know, I'm not I don't represent any dry cleaners at present. So I can't say that this doesn't apply to them. It really depends on the scope of and the definition that this court's going to employ.
Thank you. I have no other questions.
Justice Frydenberg.
Are there gravel mining techniques available that don't use a slurry process?
Are there mining processes? I don't have the expertise to say that, but I do know that there are quarries where, you know, somebody might take rock out and send it out someplace. And because of the Nebraska scheme, that very well may be considered part of the manufacturing process as well. So again, we're into a bit of a hypothetical here, and only not that this doesn't exist, just it's outside of my scope of knowledge. But if that were dug up and then sold to a third party as is, I think that's fairly considered mining. If it's dug up and then sent to an integrated company, for example, like Lyman Ritchie does, and then it's used for further manufacturing, then I would say that there's a very good chance that manufacturing equipment would also qualify because of the storing, handling, et cetera.
Would the difference be between a dry process and a slurry process simply be the cleaning? Because they'd both be sorting.
Well, it depends. I guess it depends on the scope of the process. I guess in my hypothetical, I was taking a very simple one where they just dug up rock and sent it somewhere. But yes, if you had an operation that sorted, then yes, you'd have the cleaning, you have the sorting, and then of course here, you know, they're reformulating it into new products as opposed to just sending it out in batches as is.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Covey. I have a question for you. It seems to me there's some tension between what you described as this act's attempt to broadly encourage industry to stay in Nebraska or move to Nebraska with the concept that exemptions to taxes are to be strictly construed. Do you have some comment on those two concepts tugging at each other?
No, Your Honor, because the purpose of the act is what it is. The language itself, you're right, has to be strictly construed, and this court has done so in various contexts, but strictly construing the act means that we don't add restrictions. That in this case, the tax commissioner and the state is arguing for additional restrictions, including, you know, these citing to these other cases that have the word substantially or significantly. Well, that word doesn't appear in our statute. So yes, it could be strictly construed and still have language in the statute that is broad, even with a strict construction.
Thank you very much. Do any members of the court have follow-up questions they want to ask?
Yes, I do. This is Justice Miller-Lerman. May I ask a question, please?
You may.
Thank you. With respect, maybe I'm overdoing it here with the dry cleaning analogy, but were you suggesting that in assessing the situation, a functional use would inform our decision? In other words, you may have a sweaty shirt, but after it's cleaned, it's a fresh shirt, but it still functions as a shirt. So how does that work under the present circumstances? Is it functional use inform our statutory interpretation or words like quality?
Well, I'll kind of answer that in two parts. The first is yes. If one of the ways to qualify as manufacturing is to transform a product and make it into a different quality. So now the shirt itself isn't necessarily being transformed. It is being changed through a process that makes it a different quality. And as I said earlier, perhaps that would qualify depending on, the definition that this court employs. But I don't know that the functionality is certainly a factor. In our case, we've got slurry that doesn't have a function, and it comes out the other end as various gravel products that do have a function. So in that case, for these facts, I would say yes, that is certainly a factor.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have questions?
No, Chief.
Very good, then. That will conclude arguments on these consolidated cases. Mr. Bartel, thank you, and Mr. Cody, thank you very much. And the court will take a little break here, and we'll pick up on the next case in just a few minutes. I'm going to leave the courtroom, and other members may stay on, or other members of the court may stay on or otherwise. But again, thank you, Mr. Covey and Mr. Bartel. And we will go on in a few minutes to the next case of the day. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Your Honors.
Yep.